Good evening. Good morning. Would you stand with me? It's morning, right? Amen. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Hallelujah. Let's lift our hearts and hands and voices to the Lord and invite his presence here today. God, we love you, Lord, today. We call upon you, Lord, for this service this morning. We ask, God, that you would touch and that you would minister and that you would heal and that you would save. Lord, we just pray that everything that it happens today in this service would be spirit-led, spirit-inspired. We pray, Father God, for your kingdom to come and your will to be done. Guide and direct, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's worship the Lord today.
Nothing that he can't do. We praise your name, Jesus, because you're worthy, Lord. We lift you up, Jesus.
Oh, we worship you, Jesus. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise and treasures that fade. Never satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. I'm not show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the valley is still God of the mountains. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again.
Faith in you, God. Jesus.
stay steadfast. My soul is in the waiting. He's in the waiting. Hold on to your hope, as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing.
God, we know that you are faithful, God, even in times that we're not, Jesus. We know that you are faithful and that you are making a way, Lord Jesus. We know that you keep your promises, Lord, and we glorify your name, Jesus, that you are a way maker, that you're a promise keeper, Lord Jesus, that you're the light in the darkness, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, God. Oh, we worship you, Jesus. We worship your name, Jesus.
Working in this.
Give the Lord a hand clap this morning. Amen. 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 That is who He is. A way maker, a promise keeper. How many of you would say that's who He's been in your life? He's been, when He makes a promise, He keeps it. When there is no other way, He makes a way. And so this morning, I just want to encourage you as we lift our hands and we just ask the Lord to bless the rest of this service. I want us to pray for a few specific needs. Today, I'd really like us to pray for our schools. A lot of decisions being made, a lot of things happening in our schools right now, a lot of uncertainty of, are we going to be in the classroom? Are we going to be virtual? Are we going to do this? Are we going to do that? And we know that the Lord can provide the wisdom that's needed for all decisions. I also want to pray not only for wisdom for the decision makers, but I want to pray for peace for all the homes. I want to pray that there would be peace within the teachers' minds and the workers' minds, within parents' minds, within kids' minds. How many of you know that God is a God of peace? That is who He is. And so would you just, if you've got a need this morning, would you just raise your hand and just signify that? Because that's who God is too. He is the meter of all needs. And so, Lord, You see these hands today. You see our hearts today. And, Lord, we just proclaim to You that we know that You are the King of Kings and You are the Lord of Lords, that You are the way maker, You are the promise keeper, but You're also, Lord, You're the wisdom provider. Lord, You're the peace giver. And so we pray, Lord, for our schools. We pray for our nation. We pray, Lord, that You would give wisdom to those who are making decisions. Lord, that they would make sound decisions, decisions to keep all of us safe. But, Lord, also not out of fear, but out of wisdom. Lord, we pray right now that You would give peace. Lord, as Your word says, You will provide a peace that surpasses all understanding. And so, Lord, while the world runs around worrying about this and that, we know this, that You are still on the throne, Lord, that You are still in control, that You still can provide a way. And so we are just going to put our faith in You, knowing that You will make all things possible. And so we pray right now that You would just, in a supernatural way, provide wisdom and peace in all things in Jesus' name, and touch all the needs in this room today. May Your presence be in this place in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. to say welcome to those of you who've come to join us today. If you're a visitor, we want to tell you that in the seat back in front of you is a visitor's card. And if you'll fill that out and place it in the offering bag, which we'll be receiving in just a little bit, that would be helpful. The video you just saw is from what they call the Daughters Conference, the Daughters of the King, our women's ministry conference. This year it will be at Crossroads Church, which is in Oklahoma City on 89th and Shields, Southwest 89th and Shields. And I want to encourage you, if you are a female, all right, in this room, so Pastor, that cuts you out, you're not allowed to go, but if you're a female in this room, I want to encourage you to come and be a part of the women's conference. It's on September 11th and 12th, so it's getting here very, very quickly. You can see Sister Carol or my wife Kelly, and they can get you hooked up with all of that. But it is on a Friday and a Saturday, September 11th and 12th, and it is an awesome conference. Kim Owens will be speaking along with our women's ministry director, Susie Perkey, and one of our missionary wives, Jordania Nargis, will also be speaking. They'll have they have a place there where you can shop and pick up all kinds of different. Who doesn't love shopping? Come on, people! And they were talking about. Miss Carol was telling me they have necklaces and jewelry and different kinds of clothing and stuff. And I was asleep. And then she said cookies and cinnamon rolls, Pastor. And I went, ooh. Now, that's my kind of shopping right there. So apparently there's something for everyone, and so they'll be part of that. So, but this, more than a conference, what makes this awesome is this is a time for the ladies of our church to get together, not just go to a conference and be fed spiritually, but also get together and have lunch and dinner and get to sit around a table. You know, ladies, I know sometimes you're busy chasing kids and grandkids and husbands. And sometimes the husbands are the biggest kids, just in my house. Okay. And so it's nice for you guys to be able to get in, together and do something, just the ladies. And so anyway, love for you to be a part of that. But the sooner you sign up, the better, because there is an early bird sign up, which is $60. If you are teenagers, 12, actually a young person from 12 to 24, or if you are over 65, then the cost is half. It's $30. And so, like I said, you can see Miss Carol for all the information on that. Love for, and listen, Pastor, they have Hildagos on here, and I was thinking they could go to the conference and you and I can meet them for lunch, you know, just to kind of like lead them pastorally through what, you know, like a recap, or like a recap over queso. So I'm getting the no signal from Miss Carol. So, okay. I get that no signal a lot. Anyway, once you be a part of that, please, please consider doing it. And if you're a young, young lady, we'd love for you to be a part of that. Also, next Sunday we have missionaries Stephen and Tiffany. Grock? I never can say their last name. And they will be here sharing with us, and so you don't want to miss that. How many of you love all the flower beds and stuff that we have around here? You know, we keep them all nice. There's flowers right out here out the front. There's a flower bed in the front. There's one around the sign and in various different places. How many of you know that flower beds, I'm sure you have some at home, don't take care of themselves? And they get difficult. We've had some ladies that have been kind enough to do that, but it's getting to be a lot. And so we have an adopt a flower bed sign up sheet. And what you do is you'd get together with you and maybe a couple of friends or a group of you and just say, hey, we'll make sure that this flower bed right here looks awesome. How many of you know that is a great way to honor the Lord by making sure the Lord's house looks beautiful? Amen. Amen. And so you can find a sign up out there, and it has the different flower beds described. And so some of the flower beds aren't very, very big, and so some of them are bigger. And so we'd love for you to help us with that. That's just another ministry. Some of you how many of you have a green thumb? Anybody? I have whatever is the opposite of that, the thumb of death. So I would just kill all the flowers. So that's not my ministry. But some of you guys are very good at that. Also, want to continue to be a part of the 21-day fast. Want to encourage you. We are on day 9 today. Is that correct? And so hopefully you're doing wonderful, whether it be fasting social media, whether it be fasting sweets. Come on now. Come on. My kids were trying to get me to take them to the ice cream store. I said, we can't go to the ice cream store. They said, you can't go to the ice cream store, but I can go to the ice cream store. And I said, that thought right there is of Satan. Get behind me, all right? We are not going to ice cream, and I'm not going to watch you eat ice cream. That ain't happening. So maybe you're fasting a meal or whatever it may be, but I want to encourage you to continue to do it, all right? It's not just about the act. It's about the time with the Lord, and it's about the consistency of the fast, amen? And how many of you believe in the Lord will speak to us individually and as a group, amen? Amen. Amen. We've got the Fall Missions Convention, our prayer meeting, and other things in here. Want to make sure that you read the bulletin and know about all of those things. At this time, we are going to receive the tithe and offering. So would you give a hand as the ushers come forward and give a hand as the kids come forward. They're going to share with us during the offering a bell choir. So come on, kids, come on up. And Pastor Chad, that's Pastor Chad in the front. He's about the same height, but it's him, yeah. I don't even know why Pastor Chad likes me. I'm so mean to him. I'm sorry, Pastor Chad. The youth department gets illustrated sermons about Zacchaeus a lot. I have my own built-in Zacchaeus. All right, we're going to let the kids get in here real quick, and then we're going to pray over the tithe and offering, and they're going to share with us. It's going to be awesome. Look at all these good-looking kids. Yeah. Ooh, that one right there is real cute. That's my niece right here. My nephew. Okay. We lost a couple? That's not good. We lost a couple. We're just kidding, people. We didn't lose them. I don't think that's what they meant. Yet on your belly button. Okay. All right, we're going to pray over the tithe and offering, and then we're going to let them. Lord, we thank you for all that is given today. Pray you multiply it. Thank you for these young people who are going to share with us today, and may you continue to pour out your blessings upon our children and upon the offering today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Didn't they do a good job? Give them another hand. Awesome job. Thank you, Jessica Lance, for your leadership of our bell choir. At this time, we're going to have a baby dedication. So if we could ask those who are coming today to dedicate Eliana Peyton Bridge. We invite their family to come at this time. Jennifer and Richard are dedicating Eliana Peyton Bridge to the Lord. And of course, Jennifer is the daughter of Richard and Donna Gerken. And so we are glad to have this opportunity this morning. In Mark chapter 10, in verse 13, it says, "One day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering him. When Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with his disciples. He said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it.' Then he took the children in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them." So today we are happy to dedicate Eliana Peyton. Hey, Eliana, how are you? Are we going to be dedicated to the Lord today? You are so pretty. You are so pretty. Let me get this mic stand up here and Wow. Well, this is a big responsibility to have a little one to bring up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And I know that's your desire and that's your thoughts. And so we have a responsibility as a church, too, to assist these parents to be teachers and to be leaders and to be examples for little Eliana, because we want her to grow up and serve the Lord all the days of her life, don't we? We want her to go to heaven. You want to go to heaven someday, Eliana?
No.
Yeah. All right. Stretch your hands and let's pray over her. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for Eliana today. We pray for her. We pray, God, that you would bless her, that you would keep your hand upon her all the days of her life. I pray that she will grow up strong and healthy, not just in body, but in mind, and most of all in spirit. I pray that you just make her a warrior in your kingdom. Lord, I just pray that you surround her with your angels, and we just pray a hedge of protection around her and her parents and her grandparents and all their family. And we today, we just lift her up to you, and we just thank you for your blessing and for your grace and your mercy to be upon Eliana all the days of her life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Say it louder. Say it one more time.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Give them another hand as they down today. Thank you, Dawn. Well, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. We're going to begin reading at verse 50 through 58. 15, 50 through 58. What am I saying, dear brothers and sisters? Is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. But let me reveal to you a wonderful secret. We will not all die, but we will all be transformed. It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye, when the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever. And we who are living will also be transformed. For our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God, He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Always work enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know that nothing you do for the Lord is ever useless. Would you bow your heads with me and let's pray over this message and ministry time today. Father in heaven, I call upon you right now, and we call upon you as a body to minister your will to the needs of this congregation today. To these that are seated here in this sanctuary and to those who are viewing online, we pray, God, that you would minister to their need. We pray, Father God, for your anointing. Lord, I am doing my function as a pastor to deliver your word. What I need is the unction of the Holy Spirit to do it right. And so I ask you right now for the unction of the Holy Spirit to minister this message you've placed on my heart for this day and this hour. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. The NIV version says, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. And that's what I've titled this message this morning, In the Twinkling of an Eye. So when does this take place? When Jesus returns for his saints. This is the event that is called the rapture of the church. At the rapture, which can happen at any time, the Bible says the dead who are believers, they will rise, and then those believers who are still alive at that time will be caught up. That's where we get that word rapture from. It's from the Greek word rapto, which means caught up or caught away. We will be caught up and everyone will meet the Lord in the air. The atmosphere between earth and heaven is where we will meet the Lord at that moment that's called the rapture. This is further described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you will turn with me, 1 Thessalonians 4 verses 13 through 18. Are you there? Getting there? 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died. So you will not grieve like people who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living, when the Lord returns, will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, We who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up, there's that word again, caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. At that moment, our bodies will be changed from mortal, dying bodies into immortal, eternal bodies that will live and last forever and ever. Can you say amen? We will be suddenly taken in the twinkling of an eye. I really don't know how long the twinkling of an eye is. I guess a twinkle of an eye would be like a blink maybe, so a couple of blinks. The Greek word there is taken from the word where we get our word atom, which is the smallest of particles that we're all made up of as atoms. And so any way you slice it, it's very, very quick, very, very fast. We are suddenly taken in the twinkling of an eye. We are taken to the Father's house in heaven, as John 14 says, where the Lord has been preparing a place for us. We are reunited with our loved ones and with our friends who have passed away ahead of us. What a reunion that will be. Amen. I have some loved ones I want to see. I have some people that I loved and have been friends with through the years who have passed away. One of these Linda days, I'm going to see Bob again, Linda. I'm going to give him a big old bear hug, and Bob's going to be right there at the gates of heaven with his coffee cup by the heavenly mailbox, as used to always see him. And we're going to have a reunion. Friends, that isn't fantasy. That is fact. That is fact. There is going to be a great reunion. We will be removed from all distress, from all sickness, from all viruses, from all persecution, and every tear will be what? Will be wiped away from our eyes. Every tear. This event is also known in Scripture as the blessed hope. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13 in the NIV says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Imagine walking into Super C to buy some groceries when the trumpet of the Lord sounds. And in a quick flash, in a twinkling of an eye, you disappear from the parking lot. After having just locked your car and grabbed a shopping cart that got left out in the parking lot as you were endeavoring to be a good citizen and bring it up to the store and use it. The cart, as the rapture takes place, the cart continues rolling forward as you were pushing it. The key and the key fob that you just locked your car with is laying on the ground. And you are changed into your glorified eternal body, and you are now in the awesome and glorious presence of the Lord. Amen. It could happen just like that. Remember, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. If we're going to have eternal life, we must have eternal bodies that are fit to live for eternity. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, as Psalm 23:6 says. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. For eternal life, we must have different bodies than these. These bodies are wearing out. I don't know about you, but my knees don't work like they used to. I get down on my knees for a little bit watching something or doing something. I go to stand back up and I can feel it. How many of you feel my pain? You know, our bodies are getting older. They're getting more wrinkled. There's more creases. I know you're thinking you can stop right there, Pastor. Just stop right there. We don't want to hear about it. But things that we used to be able to do a lot easier, now a lot harder to do now as we're getting older. But the Bible says in a flash, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to get a body that's going to be fit for eternity. We're going to get a body that's never, ever going to wear out, never going to need these glasses, never going to need a hearing aid, never going to need any kind of replacement parts. Never going to be sick again. We are going to be living in a body that is indestructible forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever. I believe, church, that the next major event that will happen in this world is the catching away of the bride of Christ. The catching away of the church. The rapture of the Christian believers from our world. Believers who are looking for and longing for his appearing. Believers who have been set free from sin and are seeking to walk and talk with the Lord and serve the Lord. Believers who live in a spirit of repentance and walk humbly with the Lord every day. He's not coming for those who only have a form of godliness, but denying the power. He's not coming back for the lukewarm, as Revelation 3:16, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning, that says, "But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." The Lord is not coming back for the lukewarm. The lukewarm church or believer is one that compromises with the world and resembles society, all the while professing Christ, yet in reality not possessing Christ. We must possess what we profess, or else we are in great peril. Let me say that again. We must possess what we profess, or we are in great peril. Let me ask you this morning, do you truly possess Christ? Is he truly alive in your heart? Does he occupy your heart and your mind every day, or only when you come to church on Sunday morning? Yours and my answers to those questions are vital. Vital to our spiritual forever. Our answers will make the difference as to whether you are taken or whether you are left when Jesus comes in the twinkling of an eye. Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 44, declare the truth concerning your need to be ready when Jesus comes. Matthew 24, 37. Jesus says, "When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, before the flood, the people were joining banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered the ark or entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected." Jesus is coming. We must be ready. We must live in a state of expectancy. Paul commended the church in Thessalonica in this way, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. He says, "And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia, for wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it, for they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment." Are you looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven? Are you looking forward to being with Jesus? What God has prepared for those who love him, the Bible says, can't even be imagined. It says the eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, and neither has it even entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. You know, if the Lord created the world in 6 days, which he did, just think what he's been able to do over the last 2,000 years. Heaven is going to be a place you don't want to miss. You want to be sure that you're ready when the Lord changes life on this planet. It's going to be different after Jesus comes. Can you imagine millions and millions of people suddenly gone just like that? Here's the deal. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be here after the rapture. It'll be bad. No, it won't be bad. It will be horrible. It will be terrible. Use the worst kind of adjective you can come up with, and it will be that. The tribulation will begin following the rapture of the church, where God's wrath, especially in the great tribulation, the last 3.5 years, God's wrath, as described in the book of Revelation, will be poured out upon this world. The verse we just read in 1 Thessalonians 1:10 says, he is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. You know, when the Lord judged the earth the first time and Noah built the ark, Noah and his family didn't suffer judgment, did they? They were spared. When Lot was rescued out of Sodom and Gomorrah, when the judgment of God came on those plans, on those cities, rather, they were spared. God's will is not to bring wrath on his kids, because we're thinking it's not just tribulation. We think of tribulation as tough times and all that. You read through the book of Revelation, and it's wrath. There's 100-pound hailstones coming down. There's a third of the population and trees and destroyed. I can't go all through it, but you read in Revelation, it's the wrath of God. And I believe the Bible teaches that we will be spared from that wrath if we are looking up and waiting and expecting our Savior to come. He has not appointed us to wrath. For during the tribulation, the Antichrist will be revealed. And the mark of the beast is something you will have to have in order to buy or sell. The only problem is if you take the mark, you seal your fate for eternity. Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18. Go with me there. It's talking about the beast here, the Antichrist. He will require everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on their forehead. And no one could buy or sell anything without that mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. And if you go over in Revelation 14, the next chapter, verses 9 through 12, it says this. Then a third angel followed them, shouting, anyone who worships the beast and his statue, or who accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand, must drink the wine of God's anger. It has been poured full strength into God's cup of wrath. And they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. The smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they will have no relief day or night, for they have worshipped the beast and his statue, and have accepted the mark of his name. I used to think, how in the world are they going to be able to do that? You know, 20, 30 years ago, I've heard this preached all my life. How are they going to give a mark? And is it going to be like a giant 666? No. You can see it if you know anything about what's happening in society. There's places now they're experimenting with putting chips in your hand and in your body so that you don't have to have a credit card, so that you can buy and sell, so that all your medical records and your all the information about you is right on that microchip. And they're going to try to slip it in so easy. They're going to try to mandate it just like they're trying to mandate masks and mandate get the vaccine when it comes out and all this kind of stuff. It's just going to be normal. Well, you got to go get the mark, man. And I even saw a commercial on Facebook promoting getting this chip implant. My friends, you need to stay away from that. I pray nobody here is here in this room, is here or watching on the internet, is here at the time of the earth when this happens. But if perhaps you find yourself here, do not, hear me, do not take the mark. Do not let them plant anything in your forehead or in your hand, no matter how popular they might make it look. So much is happening in our world right now to set the stage for everything that we are seeing and that we are reading in the Bible. Again, you don't want to be here. Certainly, when suddenly millions and millions of people disappear, the stage will be finally all set for a great world leader to step up and calm everybody down. It's going to set the stage when millions of people are gone and houses are empty and plane crashes and car crashes and all these things happen because men, somebody's going to have to step and say, okay, people, just calm down. And the Antichrist will be that person, and he will be anointed by Satan himself to deceive people. And later it will be revealed that they were deceived and who he really is. In conclusion, I just want to say, you don't have to experience this stuff. Thanks to Jesus, he provided a way for you to be saved, for you to be spared his judgment, for you not have to worry about the Antichrist and the great tribulation and the terrors of the coming judgment. You know, when the Bible talks about the coming of the Lord, and we read it a few moments ago, the word says, for example, in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, it says, so encourage each other with these words. And the words were the coming of the Lord. In different places, it says, encourage one another that Jesus is coming. It didn't tell them to encourage one another that you're going to go through the tribulation and that there's going to be Antichrist and the false prophet and you're going to watch out for the mark of the beast. That wouldn't be very encouraging, would it? Paul is saying, encourage one another that there is a day coming. You need to keep looking up. His coming is imminent. It can happen at any moment. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, one more scripture here. Verses 9 through 11. It's particularly specific about Christians not being appointed to suffer wrath, but to be saved. It says, for God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that we are, whether we are dead or alive, when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Some of you say, Pastor Steve, that's scary. And it can be scary if you're not right with Jesus. But you know, the Bible says perfect love casteth out fear. If you have a viable, living, perfect relationship with Jesus, and I mean perfect in the sense that you've accepted Christ, not that you are perfect, but that you are endeavoring to follow him and live for him, You don't have to have that fear. You can rest assured, just as Paul told the Thessalonians, encourage one another that Jesus is coming. Look forward to that day. Jesus is coming. If you're fearful, it must mean that there's something not quite right spiritually that you need to get taken care of, even though even in a natural sense it's apprehensive and can produce some anxiousness because it's all so different. It's all so different. But you can have a peace if you know that Christ is in your heart, if you have believed on him and you are saved and you've confessed your sins to him, if you've asked him to forgive you, you've repented and say, dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I know that I don't deserve anything but hell, but Jesus, you died on the cross, Jesus. You shed your blood so that I could be saved. And I received that, and I ask you for that salvation, and I thank you for it. And the Lord does a miracle in your heart. And you get a new spirit and a new heart and a new mind so that one day you will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. In closing, before we invite you to come, if you want to come and pray or to serve him or to look at your heart and say, Holy Spirit, look at my heart. I think it would be good for us all to do that today, whether you come to this altar or you make an altar out of your chair where you're at. I think it'd be good for all of us to look at our lives. Paul said, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Take a look in your heart. Say, God, is there anything in my heart and in my mind that isn't right with you? Is there anything that would cause me to be left behind when the trumpet sounds? Is there anything, God, that would leave me here? Because I don't want to be here. I want to be with you. We have a short, about 3-minute video I'm going to show you. And then Brother Kelvin back there, he knows how to blow the shofar, which is the ram's horn. The shofar was a horn that was used in the Old Testament to declare victory or to announce that, hey, get ready. But I read today earlier, I was looking and reading this before service, it also can announce a time of repentance. And I think if anything today, all of us could say, Lord, what do I need to repent of? And so following this video and following Kelvin blowing the shofar, even while he's blowing it, these altars are open. Don will then begin to play after he blows that. But it's a call to repentance. Church, let me just say this. You don't repent just one time when you get saved and you never have to repent again. That's not scriptural. You need to continue to live in a spirit of repentance and dependence on the Lord and walk humbly with your God. Yes, you repent of your sins when you come to Christ, but after that, the Holy Spirit may convict you of something in your heart that's not right. In fact, Paul said, if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. But 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we continually. Otherwise, Jesus wouldn't have need to tell us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's how we're to pray every day. Along with give us this day our daily bread and let your will be done in heaven and on earth and so on. But we pray and we live in a spirit of humility and love to our Savior. Watch this video.
I'm pleading with you. It's time to get right with God because Jesus is coming very soon.
It's David Wilkerson
there
talking.
He's at the door. No one knows the time or the hour, but Jesus told what's going to happen prior to his coming. He gives very clear evidence. Jesus said there'll be wars, there will come false Christ, but don't be terrified because the end is not yet. Then nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Great earthquakes shall be in diverse places and famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great signs in the heaven. And then shall they see the Son of Man come in a cloud with power and great glory. listen to what he said, when men's hearts fail them for fear and for looking upon those things that are coming on the earth, it's one of the surest signs. When everywhere there's fear and men's hearts are failing them, just watching those things that are coming on the earth. We don't hear much about the coming of Christ in modern Christianity. We don't hear it anymore. I grew up where every Sunday in church this was preached. I grew up believing Jesus could come at any moment. When I first came to New York, that's what I preached on the streets. Jesus is coming, get ready. Beware of those who say in their heart, my Lord delays his coming. Scripture said we are all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. Therefore, beloved brethren, be you steadfast, be unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. He said, no, you don't stop working, you don't stop praying, you don't stop doing anything. You keep moving on, but with this always in mind, looking to and hasting toward the coming of Christ. Blessed are those servants who are on alert when he comes. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord will find watching when he comes. And if he comes in the second watch, be ready. For the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you don't think, when you don't expect him. There comes a time God in his mercy says, get up out of the dirt. Make a move.
Praise you, Jesus. These altars are open. Make a place of prayer right where you're at, or come to this altar if you need someone to pray with you. Pastor Phil and I will be down here, and any other people that would like to pray with someone, other pastors and leaders, we would be glad to pray with you. I believe all of us, if we look at our hearts, can say, I need to repent of that. I need to repent of that. Lord, I want to be ready when you come. If you know for sure today that you are not ready, I ask you to come and let me pray with you. Say, Pastor Steve, I know that I'm not ready. I know that I'm not even a believer today, but I want you to pray with me because I want to become a Christian. I want to become a believer today. I will be happy to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus, Lord.
heard the trumpet sound.
I would encourage you right now, if you know of family members that aren't ready, pray for them right now. Speak their name to heaven's throne today. Thank you, Jesus. He's coming soon. He's coming soon. With joy we'll welcome His returning. It may be morn, it may be night or noon. We know He's coming. Hallelujah. Friday, I was in Tulsa at the district council, which is the, in a sense, business meeting of our district, and we were having a worship service and the ordination service on Sunday night, or Friday night. We sang some worship, and then there was a message in tongues with an interpretation. And the message that went forth was, "Behold, I am coming soon. I'm the Lord." I mean, and it was, you could feel goosebumps. It was just amazing. I mean, that's what was interpreted. "Behold, I am coming very soon." So that just confirmed to me what I was knew I was already going to be preaching today. The Lord says he's coming. The table is being set. In my office, I have a picture. It hangs on the wall. My parents got it for me at my ordination in 1985. And it's a picture of the banqueting table in heaven. Gold plates, gold utensils, and glassware, and long table. And you can't see the end of that table because the person that painted it put a golden candlestick right in the middle. And so you can't tell how long that table is, but if you look at like the picture, it just goes on and on and on. I hope that you have a name tag in front of a plate that has your name on it. I hope there's a name tag on that table that's going to be in heaven that has your name on it because you have made your reservation. And my friends, if you've made your reservation and you've got a name tag on that table, you don't have to worry about the future because we know who holds the future and we know who holds our hand. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. I don't know when the Lord's returning. I believe it's soon. I don't know when. But regardless, if my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life and my name is at the table, I know everything is going to be all right. Amen. Let's just lift our hands and voices to the Lord and tell him, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for putting my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for when I called out to you and you washed my sins away, you put my name in your book. You made a reservation at the table with my name on it. Lord, you gave me eternal life, as John 3:16 declares. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I just need to be concerned for those who are not ready. But I can look forward to the day when you call us all home. Thank you, Lord. In the meantime, let us be busy. Let us be working in the field. Let us be sharing the good news. Let us be witnessing to friends and neighbors and even strangers you put in our path to tell them about your love and about your grace and your mercy. Empower us, Holy Spirit, to do that. Put a fire in our bones that we can be about your business until you come and take us home. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. God bless you. Go and be God's hands extended.